world. What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken with the Fight Bananas Podcast. How's everyone doing out there? Man, oh man. All right, he's coming back on to the podcast. Was on once before his pro debut, 1-0. Now we're going to talk to him after his second win, 2-0. My main man, the Savage, Ramon Tavares. Big, big fans of his. What an incredible story. Hell of a fighter. 2020, big, big plans for him. I can see a winning streak coming. I can see a 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. Love him inside that cage. Absolutely love this man. Ramon's about to come on. A lot of stuff's going on with him. We'll see what we talk about. You know, I want to talk about how he is feeling as a professional, racking up wins. What's his game plan? What's his outlook for 2020? We're going to talk about it all. Ramon is about to come on the Absolute Fight Bananas podcast. But before we get him on, I'm going to shout out real quick on one of our sponsors been with us, Enstone Nutrition, guys. Check them out at EnstoneNutrition.com. Use that joint jiu-jitsu. I use it every single day. So go get it, all right? Go to EnstoneNutrition.com, and let's go absolutely bananas. All right, guys, on the Fight Bananas hotline, now officially 2-0 professional record. I love the Instagram handle. You know, catch these hands, the Savage, Ramon Tavares. How you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing well. How about
yourself? Man, we're doing good. You know, is it cool to go on your Instagram profile and switch that 1-0 to a 2-0? You like that?
Yes, sir. I already did that.
I saw it. I checked you out today. I was like, yep, 2-0. Let's get into it, man. That was a great show. Combat Night Tallahassee, getting the job done. 2-0. How you feeling? How did you feel your performance was?
I feel my performance was good, but I always expect more out of myself, so I'll be happy for a couple minutes, and then I'll be ready to go back to the gym and focus on what I need to focus on and try to make my next performance even better.
Okay. What, you know, you can say it or not if you want to. It's up to you. What did you think was off? What did you think you have to go back into the lab and kind of work on a little bit?
I mean, this whole fight camp was just different because of what happened to my brother.
Right, man.
My brother passed away in December, so mentally I feel like I wasn't all the way there. And then I know if I was there, I probably would have finished him faster, probably in the first round.
Right.
I wasn't there mentally. But when the third round came and I knew that I kind of gave up that second round, I knew that third round, I was like, all right, I'm about to finish this fool. I had to come out there and just bombed them.
Right. Real quick, man, I wasn't going to bring it up until you did. Man, my heart goes out to you big time, man. You know, the fight game alone, podcast, all that stuff, you know what I mean? Like, we start talking and all that. I really respect you as a man, as a fighter and all that. And when I saw that happen, you know, a couple months ago, I was devastated for you. You know, I know you had so many people else reaching out and all that stuff, so I tried to stay away. And, you know, I really wanted to talk to you before the show, but, you know, it didn't happen. And I kind of wanted to give you more space, too, because I maybe knew your head was going to be at. I'm really happy we're talking now, Ramon, and I'm just really, yeah, man, truly, truly sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, okay, I think you're going to get right back into it, if I'm not wrong. I know there's a big Duval show coming up next month. You know, 2-0, you're really pushing the pace right now. Is that kind of your goal? Is that where you're at in 2020? Let's just rack up wins?
Yes, sir. That's the goal for 2020, just to rack up as many fights as I can and keep catching these W's and trying to take the fast track to the UFC, man. I'll just keep working, and I'm working my ass off, and I'm working on things that I know I need to work on. And I guarantee you, each fight you will see me get better and better and getting more comfortable as a professional.
Right. And you mentioned the UFC. I know you're a lighter weight class. I know one has been super hot, and you know, and I know Mitchell's guy, Troy Worthen's over there at one in a lighter weight class. Are you right now in the mind state of, oh, it's UFC? Or, hey, you know, you'll see where you're at. You know, PFL's paying really well. They are giving out $1 million.
Throw me the money, man.
Okay, so it is. It's just, yeah, you want to be a professional fighter, you know, maybe within 18.
Yeah, I just want to be a professional fighter, give people what they want, man, and just get paid for what I love doing. take care of my family.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. And then I saw one of your teammates, one of your brothers, Austin Lane. He just picked up a fight for LFA. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I like that for him. That's a good spot.
Yeah, that is a good spot for him. And everybody should be tuning in March 7th for LFA, man. You're going to see some fireworks coming from Austin. He's looking really well in camp.
Absolutely, man. And I just feel like it's you, it's the whole team, everyone around you, I just feel like are on the major come up. Last year I felt it. This year I feel like it's all coming together for you guys. How do you feel as a team, as a unit? You know, you and your four guys, five guys, couple girls in there. You guys are just really doing a lot of good work right now inside the cage.
Yeah, man. I love my team, man. I don't want to be nowhere else but with Bulldog Boxing, man. The people we have there, they're amazing, and everybody there is the reason why we're becoming who we are today. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got goals, and everybody is focusing on them, and we lasering in on them. So I'm pretty sure you're going to see me, Austin, a few other guys that we got coming up. You guys are going to see us on the big screen very soon.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, there's two talking points I want to hit on, and then almost everyone, I think it's, you know, around 50 days away. It's, if you're any kind of fight fan, it's the Khabib-Tony Ferguson fight. Where are you at? Who you liking? Are you just hoping this fight finally happens for the UFC? Are you into it as much as we are here at Fight Bananas?
Yeah, no, I really enjoy that fight. I'm just hoping right now that it happens. But if it does go down, if everybody makes it there on time, I'm gonna have to go for Tony Ferguson, man. I love Tony's game, and one thing about him, he doesn't care about what the hell is going on. He's gonna do what he has to do to win. That I think his jiu-jitsu is gonna play a major part in that fight.
100% agree. Like, I'm one of those guys too, Ramon. Like, you always go with the undefeated guy. I think Khabib now is 28-0. So, like, every time it feels like, even John Jones for, like, 5 years, you kept on saying the other guy. I'm like, why keep on going against these undefeated guys? They don't lose for a reason. Izzy, GSP.
You're completely right.
But I really did. I really thought about this fight. For some reason, man, I just think there's this, Tony doesn't care. He doesn't care if he's on his back, if he's wrestled. I really think he's going to submit Khabib Nurmagomedov on the ground, maybe even on his back somehow. I think Tony wins the belt. I really do.
Yeah, I believe so too, man. And another thing people sleep on is his toughness, man. He doesn't care. His toughness, you hit him, he's going to keep coming forward. His cardio is always there. He's just a different animal, man, for Khabib. But if Khabib wins this fight, man, you got to submit him as one of the greats at that weight class.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And one thing you did hit on, I actually loved you said it. And, you know, I'm a big Dustin Poirier, the Diamond fan. But it did seem like in that second round, he in his head was almost like he felt he looked defeated. You know, he kept on getting wrestled. Like, Tony, like, he don't care. Like, Tony would be like, he'll be smiling and he's like, okay, I'm going to catch you here. Or just let me go to the fourth round. I'm going to get you in the fourth.
Yeah.
I feel he has that underdog personality of he's going to get you sooner or later.
Or later, yeah.
Man, I can't wait. That's it. That's going to be big.
Yeah, that's a great fight.
So, okay, the two talking points I want to hit up with you. One is because of that Jones-Dominic Reyes, and it was just a, you know, mainstream, so many people didn't like the outcome, the scores, and now this open scorebook. I think we hit on it the first time you came on the show. I always thought there should be a scoreboard. Let's go, blue corner, red corner.
Yeah,
corner.
Yeah.
Is it, you starting to feel that a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, even like I said, for combat night, if they come to Duval in March, you know, and you're down, you're in the first round, you know, and like you said, maybe you're in the clinch and you're throwing great knees, you're going short elbows, but the other guy is using the jab a little bit. But, you know, you think you won the fight, but after that round, if they said, no, the jab won, now you know what the judges are looking for, maybe you work your jab out a little bit. I just think it's common sense for now, it's 2020 for MMA. It just is.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I think it'll be helpful because it'll push people that knowing that they're losing, you know what I'm saying? So it probably creates better fights. But at the same time, keeping it how it is now, you have to use what you feel. Like, use your IQ to know that you won that round or to know that round was close. Like, I knew, for example, my fight, I knew the first round I thought I won the first round, but I knew it was a close one. I knew the second one, I probably would have gave it to him just because at the last, like, 2 minutes, he was on top. So So I knew in my head when I came out, I was like, all right, I gotta apply pressure. I gotta put that pressure on him and show the judges like I wanted more. And that's what I did. I could tell in his eyes that he knew that I was coming for him.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Guys, we're talking with Ramon Tavares, 2-0 now professionally. Next fight coming up really, really soon. We'll see that on his social media platforms or Combat Night social media platforms. The last kind of talking point I want to hit on is a guy that's been close to the podcast, our main man, Brock Weaver. He got defeated, or he won the fight, but he got with a legal knee, right? I don't know if you saw that. It was last weekend.
Yeah, I ain't see it, but I heard about it.
Okay. My point that I kind of wanted to make on it is I really think, and like the ref just kind of knocked it off right away. Like he saw the knee, he saw the damage, and he just, boom, he put that fight to bed. I don't think the referee should do it. And of course, us, you know, the fighters, we're always going to say we want it. We want the smoke. We want one more round. I believe we should give that to the coaches. That's why they're there. That's why they coach you. They know you more than yourself. They know if you're in it or not. I think we should give you guys, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, and then let's give it to the coach. And if they think we should keep on going, let's keep going. If they think we should stop, then, you know, it's a DQ. Do you like that idea that you give a little bit more control to your coach on that decision?
Yeah, that would be a good idea. But I think the fighter knows when he's good to go and when he's not good to go. You know what I'm saying? They know for sure if they really hurt or not, but bringing their coaches involved too as well will make it better too, because the coaches know their fighter as well, so they could look at him and could tell if he's there or if he's not there, and if he's ready and he's not ready. So that would be a good idea as well. But you know Brock Weaver, I don't know him personally, but I heard of him and know of him, and you know he's a beast, man. He's going to keep going no matter what, and that's some of the fighters that could be dangerous for some of the fighters who are getting hit with something legal, knowing that they hurt and still wanting to fight could be dangerous for them.
Right. Especially, like you nailed it, guys like Brock. How about guys like Mike Perry? Yeah. They're just going to keep going. They're warriors. Yeah. They're gladiators. They're 21st century gladiators. They're never going to quit, never going to give up. So, sometimes it's good that, you know, people that care about them and knows them can make that decision. But, just a couple theories we're throwing out there. My man, Ramon, we're so pumped for you. 2-0 professionally. Is there something else? Anything else happened that night in Tally that you want to talk about or that you saw or like really catched your eye?
Valentin Woodburn, his knockout was crazy, man.
Yeah, man. that beast is a stud. I've been watching Val for same thing, probably a couple years. You know, he went through that combat night scene, all the amateurs, you know, multiple weight class champ. And he was about to make his pro debut at the end of last year. His opponent dropped out. That's the fight game. And he finally made it. And, man, that he does work. That's just what that man does every week.
I finally got the chance to work with him a few months ago when I was in Orlando. And he's just strong, man. He's strong. I mean, I know I'm a little guy. He's way heavier than me, but he's strong for his size, man.
Yeah, I actually saw that. Wasn't it you and Steven and Shelby? You guys went out there to Fusion for a couple days?
No, I didn't go with them. I went there, but I actually went out there to go to Legoland with my son and my wife. Yeah, and then I ended up popping up in there and got some working with Val and some other guys in there.
Okay.
Got some solid guys in there.
Whoa. You brought up Legoland, my man. That's my spot. You should know that. That's my spot with my boys.
Yeah.
You guys enjoyed yourself out there?
Yeah, no, we sure did. My son enjoyed it. I liked how they just had everything mostly for the kids, so it was good for him.
Right. And there's like no lines like Disney. Everything is like super cheap out there. I was like, the Legoland's this new spot. That's my hit.
Yeah.
My man, we appreciate it.
That's what caught my eye. That caught my eye, and There's some pretty good amateurs on the way up, man, that I've seen that have some pretty great fights out there as well.
Right.
But that's what really caught my eye was that knockout, man. That was a crazy one.
Wow, man. Yeah, we'll get Val on the show really soon. And, just so pumped. I know you've been through a lot the last 60, 80 days. Just everything. My hat's tipped off to you. Respect you as a man, as a fighter. And just keep on grinding. And, man, 2020 is the year of the savage.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm happy I got this fight out the way, man. I was really in a dump. And I knew that if I didn't force myself to take the fight, I knew I probably wasn't going to take a fight. So I basically forced this fight, and I got it out the way, got through the emotions, got through it mentally. And I guarantee you start seeing better stuff from me, man. I'm coming for blood. I'm coming for knockouts, finishes, man. I'm just coming for exciting fights, man. You guarantee 2020 is my year.
There we go, guys. 2020 is his year. Check him out on Instagram, catch_D's hands. Ramon, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk real soon, all right?
All right. Thank you so much, man, for having me.
Gotcha, brother. Bye. There we go, guys. The Savage on the Fight Bananas podcast. Officially 2-0. He's 2-0, 2020. Two more wins? Three more wins? And I think he's going to get them real fast. He's going to pile them up. He's been with Combat Knight almost literally since day one, doing a lot of great stuff. Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Orlando. You can catch him all over the place. Make sure you catch up with Ramon Tavares all year long. And yeah, man, super sad. You know, really sad situation with his brother. I admire and respect the hell out of him, and just continuing growing and grinding and getting it. I just really appreciate it. He said, yeah, he needed to take one. He needed to kind of get through this one to, you know, keep growing and being bigger. And then, shoot, talking about Legoland with his son, that's like my spot. You know, I think we got the passes with our boys. We haven't went out there since the girls and all, but Legoland, I like that. Anytime you could talk mixed martial arts and Legoland, it's probably one of the greatest podcasts in our history. Guys, Ramon Tavares, make sure you catch him on IG, catch_D's_hands. Big things are coming. I think we're going to see him March 14th in Duval. Check him out. Guys, thank you so much. Check out WarhammerFightwear.com. Check them out on the Amazon app or go to the mother site at WarhammerFightwear.com. Keep on subscribing to the Fight Bananas podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, like, send it to a friend. Keep subscribing to YouTube. Over 300 subscribers in like 2-3 weeks. We see it. iHeartRadio is insane. We appreciate them. Appreciate you guys. Just keep it going. All right, guys. This is the end of the Fight Bananas podcast with the Savage, Ramon Tavares.